from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Hear these words beginning with verse 12. Christ is just like the human body. A body is a unit and has many parts, and all the parts of the body are one body, even though they are many. We were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jew or Greek or slave or free, and we all were given one Spirit to drink. Certainly the body isn't one part, but many. Now if the foot says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not a hand, does that mean it's not part of the body? If the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, does that mean it's not part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, what would happen to the hearing? And if the whole body were an ear, what would happen to the sense of smell? But as it is, God has placed each one of the parts in the body just like he wanted. If all were one and the same body part, what would happen to the body? But as it is, there are many parts, but one body. So the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. Or in turn, the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. Instead, the parts of the body that people think are the weakest are the most necessary. The parts of the body that we think are less honorable are the ones we honor the most. The private parts of our body that aren't presentable are the ones that are given the most dignity. The parts of our body that are presentable don't need this. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the part with less honor, so that there won't be division in the body, and so the parts might have mutual concern for each other. Now, if one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. If one part gets the glory, all the parts celebrate with it. You are the body of Christ and parts of each other. In the church, God has appointed first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, the ability to help others, leadership skills, different kinds of tongues. All aren't apostles, are they? All aren't prophets, are they? All aren't teachers, are they? All don't perform miracles, do they? All don't have gifts of healing, do they? All don't speak in different tongues, do they? All don't interpret, do they? Use your ambition to try to get the greater gifts. And I'm going to show you an even better way. This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Did I tell you that Betsy and I have a new grandson? So thank you for reading the scripture for me, John. I'm not in real good voice this morning, and I'm hoping it holds out as we go through this wonderful message together, these words of the Apostle Paul about who we are as the church. Once again, I've included some notes in the bulletin for you, and if you'd like to follow along and write things down, you're welcome to do that. You know, the human body is amazingly complex. It has 206 bones, 639 muscles, about 6 pounds of skin, along with ligaments, cartilage, veins, arteries, blood, fat, and more. Every time we hear a sound, every time we take a step, every time we take a breath, hundreds of different parts all work together. Just think how many different parts of your body you've used already this morning. And yet, what we experience using all of these different parts is a single movement. Our minds and our bodies working together. It's amazing. Last Sunday, we began this series of messages entitled, "We is Greater Than Me." And during this month, we're focusing on these two great chapters in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapters 12 and 13, and discovering the importance of building relationships with each other. As we said last week, we all need the help and support of other Christians to keep us on the path with Christ. And in these verses we're looking at today, Paul uses this powerful image to help us understand how we are designed to function together. He says, number one, we belong to the body of Christ. We belong to the body of Christ. Look at the first two verses again. Christ is just like the human body. A body is a unit and has many parts, and all the parts of the body are one body, even though there are many. We were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, and we all were given one Spirit to drink. Now notice in the first part of verse 12, it is not the church is just like the human body. It's Christ is just like the human body. Now this is a really remarkable statement, because what Paul is telling us is the church is the means by which Christ functions in the world. The church is a body with many members, and yet it is one body. The church is not many different bodies, many denominations. The church is local. We're all connected here at First Church. And the church is also universal, connected to every church in every place. We all share the same life, Paul says. We all have the same head. We all function as the presence of Jesus Christ in the world. And one thing that that means, and this is very important because we've been working on this in Mechanicsburg over the past year or so, one thing that that means is that we are not in competition with other churches. We are not in competition with the church down the street. And we're not in competition with the church, be it smaller or much larger, outside of town. Several people have told me recently about something they saw in the news, that LCBC is moving into our vicinity. They've just bought the Twin Ponds skating rink over off the pike, and they've committed a core of 250 people to start a new campus. Now, LCBC started as Lancaster County Bible Church, and now their name is Lives Changed by Christ. They now have 14 campuses and worship somewhere around 20,000 people each weekend. Now, we ought to welcome church starts like this and pray for them, to recognize that they have a part in Christ's body just as we have a part in Christ's body. All of us working together to accomplish the mission of Christ in this world. Paul says it doesn't make any difference what your origin is. Whether Jews or Greeks or slaves or free, he says, people who all were part of this diverse congregation in Corinth, he says we're all connected to Jesus because we're all connected to each other. This image of the church as Christ's body on earth parallels something beautiful that Jesus said in the upper room on the night before his suffering and death. He's talking to his disciples about the Holy Spirit. And in John 14:20, he says, "On that day, the day the Spirit comes, you will know that I am in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. What he's telling us is that we are both in Christ in the same way that Christ is in the Father, and Christ is in us. That's what the church is. It's a group of people who share the same life in all the many different places where we serve, who belong to the same Lord, who are filled with the same Spirit, who are given gifts by the same Spirit, who are created to function to make disciples for Jesus in this world. That's who we are, Paul says. So what does this picture of the church as the body of Christ, all connected together, mean for you and me as individual believers? Well, Paul tells us a couple things about that. First of all, it's important that every one of us recognize and claim our unique gifts. Paul tells us, number two, that in a healthy body, every part works properly. These next few verses. Certainly the body isn't one part, but many. If the foot says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not a hand, does that mean it's not part of the body? If the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, does that mean it's not part of the body? I'm imagining that as the messenger read Paul's letter to the church at Corinth, and he read that part of this chapter, he probably said, you know, it's okay to laugh in church. Because what Paul is envisioning here is something that would be truly funny. Paul says that if your foot should say, well, I can't do the things the hand does, you know, it's attached to that long arm and it's used all the time, and I can't wiggle my toes like I can wiggle my fingers. I just can't do what the hand can do. Therefore, I don't really belong to the body. Paul says if the foot would say that, it would be ridiculous. Of course the foot is still part of the body, even though it's not a hand. And if the ear says, because I can't see like an eye, I'm not part of the body, the ear is deceiving itself too, because right there it is, on the sides of your head. If I don't feel like I have a role to play in the church, it's because I have the wrong idea about what the work of the church is. You know, there's this widespread misconception that the real work of the church is what happens here in this building. Some think the real work of the church is to have an uplifting worship service, or it's to have Bible studies and spiritual growth opportunities, or it's to support the ministries that take place inside of this building throughout the week. And certainly what goes on in this building is the church's work, but it's only part. In fact, not the biggest part of the work of the church. The mission of the church is not just what happens in here. It's also how we live and serve, each according to our gifts, out in the world. At these two exits, we have signs that say, you are now entering the mission field. And we put them on this side of the doors so that as we're going out of here, we remember what the real work of the church is. And it happens not just in here. It happens out there where you live. Do you remember the biblical text that Jesus chose for his very first sermon? He read it in the synagogue in his hometown. His first sermon was from the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament. And this is what he read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the prisoners and recovering of sight to the blind, to liberate the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now, if you're taking notes, you might want to underline that third word in the third line, the word sent. For me, that's the most important word in that whole scripture. Because Jesus was sent into the world to bring salvation. The body of Christ is sent into the world, each according to our gifts, to transform it. No part is too small. No part is too insignificant to join with Jesus in his ministry. Now, I don't know why, but as I read on in this passage, a certain visual image came to mind for me. If the whole body were an eye... Wow, I don't think those minions have ears, do they? What would happen to the hearing? Now, Pastor John, I'm going to ask for true confession here. Not just from you, but how many of you have seen any of the movies that have minions in them? Like Despicable. Wow, almost everybody has. Wow. Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you probably should see them because they're pretty funny. And, you know, I think the Apostle Paul would appreciate the minions because they definitely know that we is greater than me. In a world of evil forces that threaten to undo the good work, the minions work together, each according to their own style and gifts, to heal what is broken, to restore what has been lost. The truth is, the whole body is not an eye. And the truth is that the whole body is not an ear either, Paul says, that God has placed each one of the body parts just like he wanted. God has put you just where he wants you right now, so that you can offer what God has given you as part of the body of Christ. The healthy body is a body that every part is working properly. And then Paul also says that in a healthy body, every single person matters. Every single person, no exception, matters. Look at these next verses. The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. Or in turn, the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. Instead, the parts of the body that people think are the weakest are the most necessary. The parts of the body that we think are less honorable are the ones we honor the most. The private parts of our body that aren't presentable are the ones that are given the most dignity. The parts of our body that are presentable don't need this. Now, I was especially taken by that phrase that's repeated twice there in verse 21. In the body of Christ, no member can say to any other, I don't need you. Every part matters. One Sunday after the sermon, a doctor approached her preacher and she said, Pastor, you might be interested to know that there's a certain part of your body that is absolutely essential for you to be a preacher. You probably don't even think about it when you're preaching, and yet without it, you could not do the work that you're doing. Do you know what that body part is? Well, the preacher thought and said, Is it my tongue? Or maybe my brain? No, the doctor said, those are obvious. It's your big toe. Did you know that if you didn't have a big toe on each foot, you couldn't stand up to preach? It's the toe that has the ability to keep your body balanced and to strengthen you so that you can stand up and speak. Now, ever since I heard that story, I've been guarding my big toe very carefully. I mean, I need it to preach. It's essential. And in the same way, every single person in the church matters. And every single gift is important to the health of the whole body. Sadly, there are some members in the body of Christ that have felt less valued. And some members that have even felt that because of who they are or what they bring, that they are excluded from the body. Tracy was in the confirmation class one year when I was serving in my first appointment down in Emmicksville. And every Sunday, Tracy's grandparents would pick him up and bring him to church. And every Sunday, Tracy was in Sunday school. And there he sat in worship with his grandparents. They always sat in the third row, right in front of the pulpit, every Sunday. But I had never seen Tracy's parents in church, not in all the years leading up to this time that he was in the confirmation class. Well, a few weeks before Confirmation Sunday, I arranged to go and visit with Tracy and his parents in their home. And we had such a wonderful visit. His dad did something that I don't know that anyone had ever done before that. He offered me a beer when I came in the door. And of course I said no. Tracy's parents actually were quite happy that he was going to join the church. And then that evening, Tracy's dad told me why he and Tracy's mom didn't go to church. You see, 20 years earlier, he said, when he was in high school, he was dating a girl that lived right next door to the parsonage. And late one Saturday night, he and his girlfriend were sitting on the back porch of her parents' house, and they were showing affection to each other. The pastor must have been watching us, Tracy's dad told me, because the next morning in church, he talked about how some of these teenagers go a bit too far in showing affection to their dates. And as he was talking about this, he said, that old preacher was looking right at me in the third row right in front of the pulpit. Suddenly I felt like every eye on the church was on me and I could feel my face burning up, he said. Well, I told my parents on the way home, I'll not go back to that church again. And I didn't. And I haven't been back to church since, he said. And then he said to me, you know, in all these 20 years, you're the first person from that church to come and visit me and ask what might have happened that I didn't come to church. You know, I felt very sad about that conversation. Sad that this man had been so badly hurt. Sad that he stayed away from the fellowship for all those years. Sad for his son, who would love for his parents to be there in church with him. Sad for the church that couldn't reach out and say, we need you. You're important to us. You know, in one way, Tracy's dad's story is very unique. I mean, I've never heard a story like it before or since. And yet, in another way, that story is all too common. We have so many, many people on the rolls of this church that have, for one reason or another, stepped out of the community. And Paul would ask us, are we caring for every part of Christ's body? Last Sunday, I shared that 75% of Americans claim to be Christians, but also that on any given week, only 18% of the U.S. population attends a worship service. Many of our neighbors claim faith in Christ, but many of them are saying, in effect, I don't need the church to be a Christian. Now, here's another statistic in that same study. Do you know that 4 out of 10 people that don't go to church say that they avoid church because at some point in their lives they were hurt by the church? 40% of those who don't go to church say they avoid it because at one time or another the church let them down. They felt judged by the church. They were disappointed in the church. Perhaps they were even abused or shamed by the church. One way or another, they heard the message that Paul is talking about here. The one that says, I don't need you. You're not important to me. Now, of course, we in the church have our imperfections. In fact, we're all sinners in need of God's grace, and we do not always behave well with each other. But in a healthy body, Paul tells us, every part works properly, and every part matters. Paul is telling us that it is so very important for each and every one of us to receive and to use the spiritual gifts we've been given, not just here in church, but out there in our day-to-day world as well. And he's also encouraging us to reach out and to care for those who, for whatever reason, have been hurt by the church. Because Paul says, in a healthy body, every part has the same care for one another. These next couple verses. God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the part with less honor, so that there won't be division in the body, and so the parts might have mutual concern for each other. And listen to this. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part gets the glory, all the parts celebrate with it. Sisters and brothers, fellow members of the body of Christ, belonging to the body of Christ, it's both a gift and a responsibility. You are the body of Christ, Paul says, and parts of each other. We is greater than me. What a gift. What a gift we've been given. Christ in us, we in Christ, connected to each other across generations to be one body. What a gift. But along with that gift also comes the responsibility, the task of each of us to offer the gifts we've been given, to offer the care that we have so that the body might continue to grow from strength to strength as a healthy body, joining together in this world in the name of Jesus to make all things new.